Sunday the 10th of February 2019, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Doctor's Orders. Sermon title, No Shortcuts. Bible reading, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ben.
I'm Katie.
You're gorgeous.
You're amazing.
I think I love you.
I love you too.
Let's move in together.
Let's get married.
Let's have kids.
Two.
Three.
Four.
I'm so glad we met.
Oh, me too.
Actually,
it's not you, it's me.
I just need some space.
You're stifling me.
I want a divorce.
Talk to my lawyer.
I'm keeping the CDs.
Your dreams.
You don't have to do things all in one go. Instead of renewing your TV license once a year, you can pay weekly, monthly, or quarterly. Visit tvlicensing.co.uk.
Fighting, arguments, division, nasty words. I mean, it just builds so quickly, doesn't it? And it happens in our homes, it happens in our workplaces, it happens in our church, it happens everywhere. Humanity knows, don't we, about arguments, about how quick it can go from loving everybody to wanting divorce and they haven't even got married yet. I wonder if we are so well acquainted with spiritual battles. We know about the physical battles, but what about the spiritual battles? Well, we're doing this sermon series on the Gospel of Luke, and today Jesus gets tempted. Jesus gets tempted. I wonder if anybody remembers this. I've got some stuff off of Wikipedia, so if it's not quite accurate, don't blame me. It says this: Cuban Missile Crisis 1962, 13-day confrontation between the United States and the Soviet Union initiated by the American ballistic missile deployment in Italy and Turkey, with the consequence of Soviet ballistic missile deployment in Cuba. The confrontation is often considered the closest the Cold War came to escalating into a full-scale nuclear war. In response to the failed Bay of Pigs invasion of 61, the presence of American Jupiter ballistic missiles in Italy and Turkey, the Soviet leader, Nikita Khrushchev, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, agreed to Cuba's request to place nuclear missiles on the island to deter a future invasion. The 1962 United States had for months denied charges that it was ignoring these dangerous Soviet missiles 90 miles from Florida. The missile preparations were confirmed when an Air Force U-2 spy plane produced clear photographic evidence of the missile facilities. The U.S. established a naval blockade October the 22nd to prevent further missiles reaching Cuba, and they demanded that the weapons already in Cuba be dismantled and returned to the Soviet Union. Anybody old enough to remember it? This was a nightmare. This was a nightmare. This was news right round the world, because the world could end. These are the two biggest powers in the world. I'll read on. after several days of tense negotiation. After several days of tense negotiation, an agreement was reached between the president, J.F. Kennedy, and Khrushchev. Publicly, the Soviets would dismantle their offensive weapons in Cuba, return them to the Soviet Union in exchange for a U.S. public declaration and agreement to avoid invading Cuba again. Secretly, the United States agreed that it would dismantle all of its missiles, which had been deployed in Turkey against the Soviet Union. When all offensive missiles and light bombers had been withdrawn from Cuba, the blockade was formally ended November the 21st, 1962, and a series of agreements between America and the US reduced the US-Soviet tensions for several years to come. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, the Russians and the Americans negotiated and a global war was avoided. Folks, I want to tell you the truth this morning. Satan will not negotiate a disarmament. He will not negotiate a disarmament with you. He will not negotiate a disarmament with me, and he certainly will not negotiate a disarmament with God. Hell's missiles are armed and ready for deployment. Condemnation, depression, oppression, temptation, selfishness, greed. They go on and on. The missiles are all aimed at you and at me. And it's not even a Cold War. This is an all-out war. But, by the grace of God, none of us need be the victim of this cosmic struggle that Paul describes in his letter to the Ephesians. There are two great Bible verses. The first is our Bible verse for the year. I hope, yes, everybody can see that. Let's say this together. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Folks, learn those verses. Learn that verse. Bury it in your hearts. God is strong enough to help you overcome all things. All things. And God loves you and me so much that even when we fall, he picks us up and reinstates us as a son or a daughter of the Most High God through his cross. That's outrageous love. Outrageous love. But then there's this second verse, and it's a verse that comes from the letter to the Hebrews when it's talking about Jesus. And it says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that you and I can receive mercy and find the grace to help us in our time of need." Sin is a reality. Temptation is a reality, and it will come at each and every one of us someday, somehow. But the Holy Spirit really can be our strength in resisting temptation and preventing us from falling. Paul says in Romans that whenever we give in to temptation, we give the devil authority over our lives. I like that. I think that's a helpful way of thinking about it. When we give in to temptation, we give the devil authority over our lives. Jesus simply didn't want to give Satan authority. Why? Well, because he knew that that authority belonged to him, Jesus Christ, not a fallen angel. He said that, didn't he? Remember this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus Christ. Therefore, go and make." But we live in a world of the now and not yet. The devil's days are numbered. Salvation has been bought for us by the blood of the Lamb, by the cross of Jesus Christ. But it's not done and dusted yet. That'll happen when Jesus comes again and walks this earth in total victory. And I know that Trump and Putin think that they walk this earth in total victory, but they really don't. They really don't. Only Jesus will do that when, as Paul says, all things will be put under his feet. And we long for that day, don't we? We look for that day to come. We live with our hearts yearning for that day But, even now, says Jesus Christ, we can have that victory in our lives today. Because Jesus was tempted, and fresh from being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was able to resist that temptation. And the Bible says that you and I can do exactly the same. Folks, three things very quickly that encourage us, I think, from today's reading. And the first is this: Jesus' eyes were wide open. His eyes were wide open. The devil was hoping that Jesus is going to be blinded by his desire to rule the world. Power. Power is an idol. And I'm talking prideful power. I'm talking about power that wants to see me get the glory, me get the honour above others, me sat at the head of the table. And when I say it in here in St. Chad's Church on a Sunday morning when it's nice and easy and relaxed, we all say, no, Martin, that's dreadful. We wouldn't want to think that way. But friends, I can tell you that power has been planted in your heart and my heart the very day that Adam and Eve took that apple and showed that they wanted more, that they wanted to be in control, that they wanted to be God. And the devil invented it. He was the very first, of course, to bow down to it. He's got the desire to rule the world, and he tries to get us to join him in that. Creation wanting to be the creator, but that can never be. God is always bigger. And yet Satan tries to tempt us, to lure us. And he does it with everyday things. I don't know if you've noticed that. He does it with everyday things that are really good for us in themselves, actually. But what does Paul say in his letter to that young Timothy? He's trying to grow this leader. And he says this: for everything that God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is given back to God with thanksgiving. If it's handed back to God, if we realise that it's only a gift, that we're carrying this gift that we've got from God. And we're meant to use that gift for the good of others, not the exclusion of others. Just an ordinary stone. That's all it was. Just an ordinary stone. And the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell that stone to become bread. But do you see what the inference is? The inference is that you don't need God anymore because you can feed yourself. See how subtle it is. Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar when the king is threatening to throw him in the fiery furnace with his friends. Remember what he says: if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us, your majesty, from your hand. But even if he does not. I love those words. But even if he does not. We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. But even if he does not. Because we don't know. We don't know what prayers God will answer today. Because it's not down to us, it's down to God. It's not down to our will. It's down to God's will. It's down to God's timing, because his timing is supreme. But even if, folks, Jesus' eyes are wide open to the reality of what is behind the temptation that he is being faced with. The devil wants authority over our lives. He wants us to leave God behind and side with him, but only God is God. And true victory only belongs to God. And so the first question today is, who has got authority over your life? Who's helping in your decision making today? Are our eyes wide open to the idols that you and I are tempted with and tempted to serve? That's the first point. Here's the next. Number two, Jesus plays the long game. Jesus plays the long game. Many of you will know that I was born in Exeter, down in Devon. And down in Devon, every village has got its own idiot. Can you imagine who our village idiot... Well, careful. It was a guy called George. George the village idiot. And he's walking along one day, and then all of a sudden, poof! And there's this genie. Hello, George. Hello, genie. Lovely to see you. Well, he says, George, he says, I got you three wishes today. You can have whatever you want. And George says, well, he says, it's a hot day. I got sweat coming off me brow. He says, I would love a little bottle of cider. And every time I drink down the bottle of cider, it just fills itself back up again. Lovely. Bing! Beautiful, cloudy, sweet-smelling bottle of cider. Takes the top off. Downs it up and then watches it fill back up. Boy, he says, that's really great. Well, says the genie, George, don't forget you've got another 2 wishes to come yet. 2 wishes, he says. I'll have another 2 of them. You know, the thing with sin is it's instant gratification. It's instant gratification, usually at least. Small child steals a sweet because small child wants that sweet now. And we're no different. I won't name your sin because I don't know what your sin is. But that's what affairs are all about. I want something different in my life and I want it now and I'm not prepared to work at it. It's what cheating at cards is all about. It's what stealing is all about. It's even what things like envy are all about. I wish I had the very thing that that person's got and I want it now. Greed, I want it now. And the devil thinks he's clever because we all think that we're clever, don't we? So he offers Jesus exactly what he thinks Jesus will want right now. Right now. Turn the stone to bread. We all want that, don't we? Don't we really? An opportunity to put an end to starvation around the world. No more food bank at the back of our church. No more planes having to fly over Africa and drop out supplies, the Red Cross, whoever it is. The devil led him up to a high place. And he showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and their splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anybody I choose. If only you would worship me, it's all yours. Bang. Bang. No more Robert Mugabe's. No more brutalization in China's prisons. All the unjust rulers of the world overruled in an instant. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? No more abuse in the home. No more knife crime on our streets. I'd go for that. I'd go for that like that. But Jesus doesn't go for it. Jesus doesn't go for it. Throw yourself down. The angels are going to catch you. You won't harm a hair on your head. All the laws of this broken world overturned. No more cancer. No more dementia. We'd go for it, wouldn't we, in an instant, wouldn't we? You control it. You do whatever you want with it. Every one of us, Bruce Almighty. But don't forget, Bruce Almighty was God. And we're not God. And we're not God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Because there is a God. Because this isn't haphazard. Because the breath that you and I breathe is a gift. Because all of life is intrinsically balanced by a designer God who spoke and it became. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought at a price. And that price is the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus never took his eyes off of the cross because it's the pivotal moment in all of history. The moment for you when victory is absolutely assured. For you, absolutely assured. The moment when, for all of history, centuries before, and all the centuries and the millions and billions of people still yet to come. The moment when all of us know that death is not the end. That there is new life. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know when it's going to happen. But we're told that it's going to be better than a life flowing with milk and honey. It's certainly a life where there's no more death or crying or mourning or pain. Because the old order of things, this order of things, with our cancer, with our knife crime, it's all going to be swept away. There's going to be this beautiful, wonderful New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven for a bride. Folks, if we get caught up in the temptations that the devil places in front of us, we get caught up in the here and the now. And we take our eye off of the victory that has been bought for us by the blood of the Lamb. New life, eternal joy, wonder upon wonder. And the Bible asks us a second question. What game are we playing? Are we playing a short game? Do we want what we want now, how we want it, otherwise we're not playing? Or are we willing to take a long game? Open our hearts to the possibility of a Holy Spirit working in us for a better world. Only you know. Well, you and God. And then lastly, Jesus takes the narrow road. The narrow road. Remember the teaching. Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate. And narrow is the road that leads to life. And there's only a few that manage to find it. Because we want plain sailing. Friends, there is no promise of plain sailing for any Christian. If you think Christianity is easy, then you're in the wrong game. And the world knows it. Even if we forget it, the world knows it. You only get what you put in. You only get out what you put in. That's what we say, isn't it? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Nothing worth having comes easy. The best view comes after the hardest climb. You get nothing for a pair. Not in this. Oh no, that's Bruce Forsyth. Sorry. I love Bruce Forsyth. Bless him. But it's true, isn't it? Did you know in the Old Testament there's over 400 prophecies of the coming of Jesus? I've got that off of the web. If it's wrong, email Nick Clegg or someone like that. But there's loads and loads and loads and loads of prophecies. And here, Satan offers to Jesus the culmination of all those promises, prophecies, right here, right now. But do you know what happens in the next chapter? In the next part of chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, Jesus gets revived after the temptation. We all of us need that. And then he heads off to Nazareth. You remember, he unfolds the scroll and he starts to read from the scroll, the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, set the oppressed free. Folks, he could have had that with what Satan was offering him. He could have done all those things. Remember verse 5. The devil led him up to that high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He said, I can give you all their authority and their splendor. It's been given to me. I can give it to you right now, right here, right now. Heal the sick. Give sight to the blind. Rescue the captives. Isn't that what Jesus has come for after all? Isn't that what he's here on earth for after all? Why is he turning it down? And again, we see how subtle temptation is. It is what he's here for, yes. But Jesus is here to do it God's way. God's way. And God's way is through the cross. God's way is to face death head on and come out triumphant. God's way is a narrow road that leads through humility. Leads through suffering. Leads through all the sacrifices that you and I are called to make for the good of others. It even leads through death itself, all the way to life. And Jesus calls it life in the very fullest. Folks, I'm probably way over time, but I think we can learn a lot from Jesus. I think we can keep our eyes wide open, your spiritual eyes as well as our physical eyes. See the devil for who he is. Reject him in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We can stand firm by the grace of God. We need to identify when we're being tempted. And we need to step out of it and step into God's arms. We need to play the long game. Don't go for quick fixes in this life. So often what we think is going to be good for us actually ends up hurting us. Don't aim for gains in this world. Aim for a crown of glory in the next. And then lastly, we need to take the narrow road. Give a little bit of time each day for prayer. Make sure you're reading a Bible amongst all the other books that you're going to read this year. Be a part of God's church. Be a part of the work of what that church is seeking to do in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of his Holy Spirit leading us here in St. Chad's. And actually what you'll find is As you do these things, you'll be blessed. You'll make a difference to the people out there. Our coffee shop is full of testimonies. Our preschool is full of testimonies. You'll make a big difference. But actually, you'll find that you're blessed in your own life too. The angels came and they refreshed Jesus. And God longs to refresh you. They came and they strengthened Jesus, and God longs to strengthen you. Folks, what game are we playing? It's better when we play it with God than it is when we make our own decisions in life. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, the world is filled with potholes, filled with traps, filled with temptations. Some of them really obvious. An urge to steal something, an urge to do something, watch something on the telly we know we shouldn't be watching. Some of them are much more subtle. Bitterness, hurt, anger. Lord, we need you. We need your strength, we need your love, we need your compassion, we need your forgiveness again. We need your healing. We need you to turn us from our temptations. Metanoia, that wonderful word that just means face the other way. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to do that even this week. Even this week, as the devil tries to lure us away from you, may we stand with Jesus Christ and be firm and do things your way, not Satan's way. And we pray that for your glory. Amen.